Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 287, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. I think my voice is like 70% back. The only way I find that out is when I scream Der Daily Zeitgeist. I hear all the different little crackling in my vocal cord and figure out, we're getting there. We're making progress here.
Checking in
with all the different registers, different levels. It is Tuesday, May 16th, 2023.
You love this day. I'm telling you.
Gotta love it, folks.
International Day of Living Together in Peace Day.
Yay.
National Classic Movie Day. National Biographers Day. Yeah.
Biographers?
Like yeah. National Love a Tree Day. National Sea Monkey Day. National Check Your Wipers Day. Check your damn wipers. I just did that the other day, and they were brittle stones that were merely just going to smear water across my windshield. Mm. National Mimosa Day. National Piercing Day. National Day. This is like, there's a ton. Anyway, there's a ton. National Honor Our LGBT Elders Day. National Barbecue Day. Oh, I heard that one. National Do Something Good for Your Neighbors. It's like, just fucking, just enjoy.
Just check your wipers. May 16th. That feels like it could be a redneck comedy tour punchline. You might want to check your wipers. I don't know. Sure. I don't know what the buildup to that is.
That's where you need ChatGPT, where you just go create a stand-up routine where the entire brand is built off this punchline. Yeah, you may want to check your wipers.
Also, the International Day of Peaceful Humans Living Together feels like it was written by ChatGPT or someone who just is trying to pretend that they're human.
Yeah. Just to look, but you know, it's just urging people to live together. I think it was after, in response to World War
II. That's what that World War made me say. My name's Jack O'Brien, aka NBA Sad Boy. Oh man, my Sixers. Those Sixers. They did it again.
I'm not gonna
freak out like everyone thinks.
Yeah.
I no longer have sadness in me to give to them.
Yeah, but you knew all along.
I did. It's kind of wild. Like, once you get to this point with a team where you're like paying a lot of attention to them, you actually know that they're going to lose. Like that game, the game 7 that they lost on Sunday, Mother's Day, thank you, the NBA, was that game was always lost.
Right.
Like, It was
written lost. In stone. Since yeah, the beginning of the season, your prediction was crash out of the second round.
Second round. They have a gravitational equilibrium, and it is the second round, and yeah. everything else is just, you know, shuffling the deck. But we're going out in the second round, and we're not going to do it in style, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited about the rest of the playoffs without them, and rooting on your Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, who am I talking to? Who's that voice?
Oh, you know.
I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, yeah, it's Miles Gray of the Los Angeles Lakers, a.k.a. LeBron Grames, a.k.a. Anthony Gravis, a.k.a. Rui Hachimura's cousin. I'll just say that, you know, right. Shout out to Black and East God out there. And shout out to all the Lakers fans out there, and sadly the Arsenal fans, because while I am a Laker fan, I'm also an Arsenal supporter, and we also fucked the bed a bit this weekend, losing 3-0 to Brighton, and basically just kissed any chance or any hope of the Premier League trophy goodbye. So in a similar way, I was like, I don't know if we can win it as Arsenal, and they also proved me right in that sense. Very painful.
Was last time Arsenal won?
Oh, well, we'd have to go back to the season of our Lord 2003-2004.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some winning there, though.
It's yeah, not... I mean, luckily, I've been supporting the team since prior to that and the previous premiership that we won before that. But, yeah, it's but let me tell you, Jack, going from 2003 to 2004 to now is fucking
it's
pain.
Yeah. Rough sled ride down the hill.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. But also, hey, I'm glad to see that Tottenham won't make the Champions League. So hold that one.
Yeah, that's why. Like, my main thing is just that the Celtics don't win the title. So anything that can be done to prevent them. And that's not fair. So Celtics fans are like, gosh, why are you like so mean? It's because I'm a sick person. And yeah. it doesn't make sense. It is not.
This isn't the happiness lab being. With Dr. Lori Santos. Yeah. We're not over here on some like mild-mannered, well-balanced shit over here.
I'm a broken person. Anyways, Miles, speaking of broken persons, that's not true. speaking of one of my favorite directors, he's a very funny podcast host, and he made some of the best videos at Cracked, some of my favorite short comedy sketches anywhere. I'm thrilled that he and TDZ favorite Michael Swaim of Those Aren't Muskets fame are teaming up to make a new film called Papa Bear that you can find out about, contribute to. We will link off to where in the footnotes. But please welcome to this show the brilliant, the talented Abe Epperson!
Abe!
My, thank you for letting me be here and, you know, sully the waters of the Daily Zeitgeist. I share, Jack, your pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a Warriors fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping the Nuggies take it all the way.
Yeah. I like it's that's my favorite part about losing is you're like, well, now this team is my champion.
Yes. Yeah. I now get to choose one.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be rooting for Jimmy Butler against the Celtics. The Celtics fans are extremely confident, which is how Jimmy Butler wants them. They're confident like a bunch of teenagers at Camp Crystal Lake, you know,
without
a care in the world. And Jimmy Butler is just off in the quarter.
A reference breathing. For the kids.
Yeah, drop something for the kids. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Exciting times.
Yeah. Well, you know.
For real.
It'll be an exciting summer because, yeah, you got quite the wage bill over there.
Oh yeah,
the Warriors.
It's gonna be murder.
Ja Rule just shows up as the head coach because it's murder.
Abe, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, couple of things that we are talking about from the news. We're gonna talk about Jordan Neely and the new Kyle Rittenhouse, the person who murdered Jordan Neely. Is now a cause célèbre on the right.
Yeah.
So we'll just talk about the way they're speaking about that story on the right.
And another opportunity to show they actually don't know the Bible that they don't always know, fucking evoke.
Turns
but
out,
hey.
As a text.
Yeah.
Not overly familiar.
No.
Or reading comprehension, leaving something to be desired. A new reality just dropped, Reality Pro. I think is what they're calling it. Apple is expected to release some goggles in a couple weeks. And this is like I remember this was what it was like before the iPad came out, where it was like, oh, shit, this
like, what's it going to be? Is it going to be, you know, because the iPhone was the last big thing that they had dropped. They were like, the iPad. I mean, that shit's going to be like, it's going to have magic powers. It's going to be like a hoverboard that you can ride on to work and then use as a screen. And yeah, so people are excited about these goggles.
Well, I'm not.
We'll talk about it. Miles, but what you have to understand is...
Oh, please tell me.
I actually don't know. I don't fully get it. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk Richie Dreyf.
Yeah, Dickie Dry.
Because he has some interesting takes. All of that, plenty more. But first, Abe Epperson, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Ooh, man. I'm gonna reveal myself and my like weird interests. I'm fascinated with subcultures, right? In some cases, it's like the joy of seeing like Go Human Go, kind of like witnessing, you know, the beauty of what's out there. But other times, it's because I want to see what like God's up to, you know, like what kind of hell hath he wrought? And I saw on Twitter the concept of like, you know, it's been around for many years, the concept of the, like the rise and grind bros, kind of like
yes,
like NFT zealots who discuss how to reach success. And that really fascinated me, which leads me to a recent search I did maybe a week ago, which was entrepreneur TikTok compilation.
Oh, no.
No. What was that?
Oh, God. Yes. Abe.
So I want to see as many as possible. And frankly, like, I love it. These are people like who tell you like how to make like $12,000 in a month making like an Amazon reseller business,
right?
Yeah. Or like investing in seeds or some nonsense. And there's a strange kind of eerie magnetism to them. They kind of have this dreadful seriousness and like they act way too familiar with you. And they play like, I don't know, like the soundtrack to The Secret Life of Walter Mitty over it. It's like frankly haunting. And they all have like the same eyes, like they see past you.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all arithmetic to them. Like these robots have one tone and it's like, I'm the wisest person to walk on the earth.
Right.
Yeah. And I love it. Like the delusion, the solipsistic kind of performance of it all. I mean, there's probably loads of wisdom that anyone puppeting, you know, just like Goodwill or Soundbite wisdom can stumble upon. But like, frankly, you know, it's all rigged anyway, and right. It's like you're not really doing anything. And I just love to see as many of those people as possible. So that's kind of like how I spend my time. Yeah,
yeah. It's because like
just getting also, pumped up, right? Like learning things about how to get that Lambo.
You know, that's funny, dude. Abe, when I look at you, I don't see it in your eyes. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Like I don't. I can tell that you go to sleep probably like maybe 7 hours a night, which is basically like loser shit. You know what I mean? Like I'm
grind.
Up at 2:30. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at the like every stock market on earth. And the look that you see in my eye is actually the Lambo that's about to manifest. Yeah, that's what you're seeing.
Shark shaped Lambo. Yeah.
I love. Yeah. They all just want to sell their companies too. It's like, and then this is how you get the valuation. Then you sell your company. Like, okay, sure. Like if that's what you think, but like,
it's that guy. That guy, the 5-hour work week. I remember like the first example of this where it's like guy who's like, I'm all about this like lifestyle and like, Tim Ferriss and like how great my life is. And like you two can have this. But then like the thing he was like doing was just like selling bullshit to people and like making other people do the work for him.
Yeah.
And it was like there was just nothing there. There's no good being produced other than his 5-hour work week.
I feel like he may have actually been the originator of like how to get to Lambo culture.
Right.
Because
I believe
in the four hour, five hour work week book, he talks about this is how I can have a Lamborghini. He's like, these are the payments. This is what I'm making every month. Plus this. That's Lambo money. Boom. Boom. Like problem solved.
And one Lambo. Like, boom. Oh, onto the next Lambo.
Sell janky supplements online. Check.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was selling like supplements. That was like his early business. And then it went into like the 4-hour body. And then it started getting a little wacky when he's like, these kettlebells can put a butt on an Asian chick. Was like one of the parts like was how it was written about like this, like, I believe is it like a woman struggling to have a butt. And he's like, yeah, but these kettlebell swings gave her that pop. So everything I'm like, I can sell you fucking anything. You want a butt, you want a cool. Lambo, you want biceps, bro. It's all here.
What did these guys used to be like? Were they in the 80s? Were they just all like working on Wall Street, or were they just like local salesmen?
They
like
just did Xerox cocaine
sales.
I think the answer is cocaine.
Spiraled out. Yeah.
Right. But like, what? Because they've replaced some job with just bullshit, like nothing. Right. What do they like? It seems like they're all in some version of a like multi-level marketing scheme.
That's exactly right. I mean, so what, go back to 1984 and whatever was going on there, you know, computers are in the next thing.
I think these like fucking gurus, like, you know, that's the other like genre of like what this kind of person is. They call themselves gurus and like they just charge you a ton of money for advice that fucking goes nowhere. They're basically, I feel like, the kids of people who are like whose parents were listening to like Personal Power in the 80s.
Right.
You know, and like early, what's his face? Gigantic guy talk. Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Self-help
like books on tape. Yeah. Like with that, big.
You're like, on that as a kid.
18 tapes in a big like plastic container.
Like those Disney, like the old Disney VHS, because like that were like sort of semi-padded plastic cases. I only know this because I remember my dad bought one of them and I was like, what is this shit? And I was like, okay, maybe this will save
Stephen Covey. Like the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Like, I feel like they were all driving around in their Trans Ams listening to that shit, maybe.
Yeah, reading Lee Iacocca.
Right.
You know?
But now they're able to influence each other. And we're just getting better and better as a society, I think, is the upshot.
Yeah. And they've stumbled upon a really, really intoxicating offer, which is sort of like, you don't have, like, toil in your own way to have like everything you want. Like, don't do it how, because everyone's like, I don't want to go to a job or do this or that. They're like, yeah, do it for yourself, bro, and get all the things I actually don't have, but I'm renting for the purpose of this TikTok video.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
They all have like one piece of good advice, which is like, get up and make your bed.
Yeah. It always starts number one.
And people try that and they're like, I actually do feel like a little bit better when like I just kind of, you know, get up and
engage with the day.
Maybe
I should give to this guy's Patreon.
guy seems like he might be like on some next level
that
shit.
That one was for free. He said for $60 a week, I'll become a millionaire. I can't even imagine what he'd tell me.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, use this affiliate link to do your Amazon shopping. Like,
Abe, what's something you think is overrated?
Okay. This is not a hot take, not a nuclear take, really, but I do have like an axe to grind recently because I watched that movie Air, the Michael Jordan movie.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that this keeps coming up, like Tetris, Blackberry, Flamin' Hot, the Doritos, like Flamin' Hot story. Movies that are
Cheetos,
basically...
Cheetos, Abe. It's Cheetos. If you're going to talk about put the proper respect on.
How dare I put some stink on this corporate nostalgia. Yeah, and just like aggrandizing this, like the origin story of products. And there's like this bit in Air where they point out that their competitor, Adidas, was founded by a Nazi, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, fun fact, not against getting that info out there in general, but it's like, it's not, that's just a good example. Something can be very harmful and weird to me. Like, basically through movies and populating the zeitgeist with their own kind of corporate agenda, it's now like a movie war of attrition against each other, right? Like, I know they do it with memes, but they get like laughed at, you know, online when they try. You know, like Hello Fellow Kids and stuff like that. I know ads exist, but we all kind of see, we all like watch ads with this kind of sardonic, like blank face that we have where it's just like, allow it to happen. But it feels wrong in movies because they have the power to like move people. And when you stamp like a based on a true story on it, like I could see this being a horrible trend.
Did you watch Air?
I did watch Air, yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting to be like swept away. Yeah, I had heard a lot of smart people be like swept away by it and be like, yeah, you go in thinking, why am I watching like a hero's journey about Nike? But then it sweeps you away. And I just like couldn't get past it, man.
I couldn't get past it the whole time.
I was like, this is fucking crazy.
This is crazy. And like when they like try to avoid doing it for so long, but they have to. So there's only like two or three scenes, but they go whole hog. They just go like, this is the stuff dreams are made of. You know, it's just like, oh my God, get off your horse.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really damaging thing. Just the idea of weaponizing like something that is a story is different than I think an ad or a meme, right? Like it's something that can actually like trigger like, yeah, I'm going to go to war for these people. I'm going to go war for this idea.
So I do think there's probably, I haven't seen BlackBerry. I've heard good things about BlackBerry. And I think like with The Social Network, for instance, like there's probably a distinction to be made between like authorized, like stories that like have the full cooperation with the people who made the thing and like things that are just based on, you know, I guess like that's the distinction I've heard people make the argument that like, well, you know, Shakespeare wrote about kings because those were the most important people in Shakespeare's time. And like in our time, corporations, unfortunately, are like the thing that is making all the decisions in people's day to day lives, whether they realize it or not. So might as well tell stories about that. But if you're telling like a true warts and all story about like big shit, like the way Succession is telling the story about like about the Murdochs and like what happens behind the scenes at a Fox News type thing, like that's, I think there's a value there as opposed to, you know, something that is
propaganda.
Yeah, right. That is using the like core corporate principles of Nike as like interstitials like throughout the movie.
Like you are correct. Like Shakespeare was dunking on fools, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Shakespeare was dunking on fools, man. And that's,
he was bringing the heat to Richard III.
From what I've read, the Hot Cheetos movie is kind of continuing that, because there's like a whole scene where they're talking about how the creator of Pringles was like a card carrying KKK guy or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there you go.
No, it doesn't feel it. But it feels like it could. Yeah, it could be though. I don't know. And then you're out
you
there looking
that
like
mustache,
a fool,
bro. You think he wasn't German?
You know what the original Pringles can guy looked like? The mustache was about this wide. Okay?
It was a toothbrush.
He
wasn't a Chaplin fan. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Not a fan of the cinema.
Yeah.
Unless it was by Leni Riefenstahl. You see where I'm getting at?
See what we're saying?
Yeah. I actually saw a Shakespeare play once, like not one of the ones that's widely taught, but it was one of the ones that was written, I think it was about like the birth of Queen Elizabeth, like happens during the course of the play. And it does like kind of go soft and weird, like in the third act as it like starts getting it. Like it feels like a play where you can like see this tension at work in his work. Like the closer, like when he's writing about like long dead, you know, kings, he can tell the truth or like portray them as like interesting characters. But like when it's the actual king who's still alive, he's like, and long live the queen. Like there's a part at the end of the play where everyone's just like, but she is pretty dope and we're all good here, right?
I like the idea of the queen's thugs like showing up on Shakespeare's door and like, we heard you writing something about the queen, huh? Yeah. How about you make it a little bit more flattering, or we mess your nose up.
Make
real
it
nice.
Yeah. Or else we reveal your
we
true
got
identity.
Some notes.
Is this even iambic pentameter? Are you even writing?
Yeah.
The way we know you write?
Yeah. What is something that you think is underrated, Abe?
Okay, so I've been having this phase. The short answer is rain hats. I don't even know if that's what you call them. Whatever you call like hats that like for rainy days, like rubber hats, like fishing hats. They're functional, right? I've been buying, I live in LA, so I don't need rain hats, but we did have a lot of rain recently and I wanted a hat. So I bought a hat and I was in a store and I was looking at all these beautiful rain hats And they appear, and I thought about it, and they appear every now and then in like high fashion, like the, you know, especially with like the rubber variety, like you got bright colors and like you had like mod art in like the 60s and they've like looked the same since then. And like they reappeared in the 80s when like that whole pop art thing was happening. Bjork wore one in that one video I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love it when function and style, or function like is style. And
Okay, Miles.
Shout and frankly,
Miles just put on his rain hat.
They did the same thing. Baseball hat. I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, it rained for 2 days. I need a rain hat.
I need a rain hat. And frankly, I'm tired of this baseball hat hegemony. You know? Yeah. I mean, fantastic hat, top tier hat, but let rain hat have it stay in the sun. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
360 coverage.
Yeah.
And also, I'm starting to fuck with a neck saver flap too.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Back of the neck.
Oh, that sun. If you're really out there, I'm like, you got to learn from the people whose business it is to be in the sun all day. Like that shit. Your neck is like beautiful.
Yeah. You know, you can't let that expose.
I always forget to get the back of my neck. With any kind of protection, and that's usually like the first spot I end up being burned. So
And by people whose job it is to be in the sun all day, you mean Australians? Is
that... Yeah.
That's who I associate the like long neck flap is like that hat. I'm always like, what are we in Australia?
hey, jackass! What are we down under?
What are we down under here?
yeah. Shout out to rain hat.
A nice bucket hat, something that I could never pull off, but. I think,
but when it's raining, Jack, you can. It's functional. No one's ever going to be like, "What are you doing, asshole? Is it raining?" You're like, "Yeah, it is."
Everyone's on Team Rain Hat on a rainy day.
Yeah, Team Rain Hat. Nice rain hat.
Hey, you know, we got to start a revolution in this country. You know, I know we have other pressing issues, but like rain hats.
Why aren't they called rain hat? Like rain hat should be a phrase that doesn't sound so weird in my mouth. You know.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's also the term that I made up, ?
Yeah, it's for good, though,
like, I don't know how to say it.
I mean, I know what you meant.
Yeah. It's just types rain of boots. Hats. There's rain boots. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it does sound weird. You're not wrong about that.
Rain gloves? I guess we don't have those.
My rain socks.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk some news. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today. Health Aid Kombucha.
And we're back. And we did just continue the rain hats conversation. Miles, you're claiming. So first of all, you told me Gorp Core, which is not the world according to Gorp.
No.
It's like hiking.
Like trail mix. Okay. Yeah, you know, Gorp for all the people, you know, your crunchy hiker style, but basically how that, you know, this like sort of more utilitarian functional fabrics and garments are starting to make their way into like high fashion. Like that's why you see people wearing more, again, like cargo pants, you know.
And you're buying more. You are wearing cargo pants these days.
I mean, yes, usually. I have a pair right now I have to take back because they don't fit. Here's a pair I got.
Okay.
They're white because I wanted to feel like I'm in Miami. You know what I mean? These are like my formal, fancy white cargo pants, but they're too small.
Okay, so J-Lo.
White cargo. You never know. You never know.
Those are fresh.
And I wear a little crop top and let my underwear band show out the top. You know what I mean? It's 98, baby. It's
98 again.
Wear my Tommy Hilfigers.
Let's get that Backstreet Boys running.
Yeah, yes. Looking like Aaliyah, you know?
Yeah. I tried on a pair of cargo pants that I thought looked cool, took a picture, sent it to my wife, was like, are cargo pants like coming back? She was like, just a one word no. Period.
Oh no.
See, that's the wrong question. You're thinking about it wrong.
No,
back if you're doing it.
Yeah.
Then
what I
back.
Meant was our cargo pants coming back into our life as a couple. and she's
like, I spent many years trying to get you to stop wearing them, if you recall early on. We're not going back.
But you can fit three natty lights in each pocket.
Tall cans even.
All right. Jordan Neely was murdered. So that's
just
the
up top.
First line.
Just to remind
everybody that. Yes. He was an unhoused man who was bothering people in the subway, and a former Marine came up and choked him to death. And so that Marine was finally arrested after a long period of the police not doing anything and giving him the benefit of the doubt, and a lot of people behind the scenes being like, they're treating him like he's a cop, like he's also a cop. They finally arrested him, and that has turned this guy into like the new Kyle Rittenhouse, it seems.
100%. I mean, sadly, because of Jordan Neely's race and, you know, where he was in our social class system, he was expendable. And basically his entire life was reduced to the description now that we see a lot of, like, hostile homeless man or aggressive, unhit, whatever they're trying to do to make him seem other than who he was. They're not saying he's a, quote, human being that has been failed by this country like millions of others. He's not a, quote, charismatic performer who brought smiles to people's faces. No, his existence basically served as a reminder to those more fortunate around him that the world they lived in was hostile and violent, and they really wanted nothing to do with that uncomfortable truth. And that discomfort around knowing that we are failing and we can do so much better was justification for his death. And nothing changes in this country, really. Just the way we talk about the problems change at best. And the discourse isn't about how we failed to address inequality or how, you know, all the social safety nets and like social programs in New York and housing programs have been just obliterated by the mayor. No, it's about the murderer's service as a Marine or Neely's rap sheet and how like or just completely slandering him and making things up like about like kidnapping someone, which there's no evidence to support these claims. But they're flaring up all on the right side of things.
It's the standard bullshit anytime. Yeah. Any black man is murdered, the media, especially on the right, goes into overdrive to
find
the pictures that show them the version that they want, that their viewers want to see.
Yeah. Or in the center left, I mean, it's just the status quo of like, I mean, he was homeless and he was weird. So, you know what? Like, that's kind of like, it's like shrugging, the equivalent of shrugging. But yeah, like you said, he's now been charged with secondary manslaughter, and he's a fucking hero. His lawyers set up a fucking crowdfunding campaign. They've already raised $2 million for this fucking guy. Yeah. And donations are coming in from people like Kid Rock, and like Tim Pool, and GOP presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy, like, to give in tens of thousands of dollars. They're calling this man a hero. And some people are calling him the Subway Good Samaritan because he... I'm sorry. I don't need to get biblical all up in here, but right. Do these fucking troglodytes even know what the fucking parable is about? Because let me just, I'll run it down because I was inundated with this kind of shit when I went to school, right. Even though I'm not a religious person. A Jewish man gets beat up and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. His own people walk by him and could right. give a fuck about his condition.
Because then, they are like grossed out. He looks like dirty and like hurt. And they're like, I don't want to think about that. Like, that's the thing. Like, stories like this get like broken down to like three beat cartoons where you're just like, and then the evil people walked by. And it's like, no, this is the sort of shit that you do every day, that we do every day in this country. And like, 100%. You ignore it because it reveals something uncomfortable about your world and like the shit that we swallow on a daily basis just to get from 1 minute to the next.
Right. And then the Samaritan who comes by, just for context, the Jews and Samaritans had fucking beef during this period. Okay. And Samaritans are the more oppressed group, actually. So this Samaritan stopped by and helped someone that was not only in like a higher class, so to speak, but also his enemy culturally. Right.
Yeah.
And helped them. So the only way Neely's killer is a good Samaritan is if the parable was about the Samaritan killing this dude on the side of the road because he was getting weirded out by how fucked up and desperate he was, and he killed him so other people wouldn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about.
Have to deal with the discomfort of him asking them for help.
Right. Because that's his crime, right? He was saying, I need food. I need shelter. I have no options. I don't care if I die. I don't care if I go to jail for life. I'm ready to die. That was like one of the things he said. And the violence that he committed was what? Taking his jacket off and throwing it on the ground?
Yeah.
And so who are we helping here? You know what I mean? Like, because if it were true to the like idea or the spirit of this parable, maybe this person would have saw Jordan Neely and said, hey, it sounds like you need some help. Can I help you? Like, do you need some food? Is there a way for me to do that? That would actually be more, you know, in line with the Bible. But again, the right has done a fantastic job of like sanctifying white supremacy and the status quo, like using bullshit terms and like evoking the Bible like this. So, and sadly, in this weird retelling of it, I guess the person that needed help was just the status quo. You know, Neely wasn't armed. Like, I don't know who the victim was, the ground. I don't know who he's committing violence against. But again,
his jacket, and they don't like when you commit property crimes.
So. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, so I guess in this case, the status quo is to just ignore or treat the needy or treating the needy with suspicion. And so he did just that. And now he's a hero. And just to kind of juxtapose these two things, there is a crowdfunding. There's a GoFundMe fundraising campaign for Jordan Neely's family. It has less than $130,000.
And the other guy, the one for the fucking guy who murdered him, has $2 million.
$2 million. And I mean, it just shows you like where, again, like when these campaigns kick off, like where the empathy is going clearly, because again, for the right, this is like the new Kyle Rittenhouse, because we're with Kyle Rittenhouse gave everybody the sort of ability to be like, well, they shouldn't be protesting out there, you know, against like, you know, against the police violence or whatever. That's what you get. Now it's sort of like, well, you shouldn't be homeless in public.
Yeah.
And freaking people out because that's where you could end up.
Yeah. It's like, empathy for rage is a real blight. The concept of like they're feeling empathetic towards a person, this hero, because it's a placeholder for everything that the right wants to point out. This is what you're angry about. This is what do you have these, you know, preconditions or thoughts that are like you think this about the universe. Doesn't that make you angry that this person or this person gets this or this or this or acts this way and can get away with it or whatever? And they like use that as a way to rage bait everyone into feeling empathy. It's like, what a hack. Like I can't believe that humans fall for this shit. And it really sours you on any hope that empathy will like take over. But ultimately, it's just this narrative building that like they're just playing the numbers and just trying to get what they want because they know there's an audience for it. You can tell that that's true just because like these people are called a hero before, you know, or they're called a victim or they're called, you know, like a monster before they're any number of these people, you know, what on either side, they're called these things because before there's even a check on who this person was. Why? Because it fits a narrative for, you know, the right to say, this is what happened. This is a way in to get my people to get angry. And that's just, I don't know. I just don't know how that's any way to, there's a lot of pain here. There's just too much pain.
And it just sort of furthers how quickly things can escalate to violence, right? Where it's just like, in the shorthand for this is like, you know, in Kyle Rittenhouse case, like, yeah, I don't know. You want to step up and speak out against something, like you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like it just is like, that's how those people think. Well, what did you expect being out there against? They're going to shoot you in the eye. And that's not their fault.
Ultimatum.
Why are you out there? Or in this case, well, you know what happens? You're acting weird in public because you have no other recourse except to disintegrate in public because you have no place to give no help. Oh, then that's what happens.
Mm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, as we have to like swallow more and more like just gruesome trade-offs as part of our reality, like of the consequences of the current paradigm of like, you know, late stage capitalism become like more and more obvious. Like people, like I think the empathy for impotent rage, like everybody is feeling impotent rage. It's just whether they know what they should be angry at and about. And so it makes sense to me that the target of the rage for a lot of people is going to be people who either by existing or by protesting, by saying things, call out the things that you're having to ignore and like just filter away through dissonance and transference and like other like just mental calorie burning like ignorance, that like the people who are reminders of that process that's happening in almost everyone in the Western world, those people will be targets because that everyone's feeling like a simmering impotent rage, and there's, you know, rather than realizing and like doing something that could harm their day-to-day lives, they would rather just kind of be part
just part of the anger. Please just get rid of any reminder of it.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about racism, so don't fucking teach my kids about it, because I don't want to hear it about it anymore.
Right.
Like, and the same thing with people who are so uncomfortable by the unhoused, and it's happens so much in LA, especially the way people talk is so fucking disturbing. Of just like, I mean, I don't know why they have to be here.
Yes.
Like, why do they have to be there?
Yeah.
What? I don't even know. What? Give me some context. What do you think is happening with this person? That their mere existence is so uncomfortable for you that the solution is, I don't know, please just round them up, sweep them away. I cannot be reminded of this. And it's just really, it's disheartening because, some people, when that fork comes in the road, they know, you know what? I can only imagine what it takes to end up like that. A few things go wrong in your life and very quickly you could end up on the streets. I know, like, if that's real to you, then you might have more empathy because you can understand how someone like that exists. But if you are completely removed for that or don't want to even, you know, it's because it's probably frightening to someone to be like, holy shit, I could a few things could go wrong in my life and I could end up on the street. That's fucking terrifying. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that. Get this motherfucker who's the reminder of that grim reality out of my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people don't see people as people, but rather as landscapes, a part of the setting, a prop. Yeah. You know, it's like the second you start doing that and you're saying like, oh, I only feel the effects of you as a person. I don't actually see you as a person. It's so easy to go down like a, it's so easy to go down this like rabbit hole of, you know, I don't believe that anyone other than me and the people who look like me are justifiable in any of our actions. These people need to be gone or whatever. I just don't see how that logic computes.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about a product that's going to help us put the blinders on, literally, folks. It's coming from Apple, and it's
got a new plugin that will block unhoused people from your actual view as you're walking through the city.
That could be the killer app they're looking for. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
Do you want to
to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And so Apple's expected to release some goggles that are called Reality Pro.
Oh, yes!
Yes, baby. Give it to me.
Feed
it to me, Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Give me that fucking feeding tube of Black Mirror actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right in
just
my gullet.
Just human centipede me up.
Yeah. So these are goggles that are going to, everyone's raving about how they far exceed everyone else's VR device. And they have an augmented reality feature that is the thing that kind of caught my attention, because some people are speculating that they will actually, like, this product will eventually replace our iPhones, because it just puts all of the information that you typically use your iPhone for, puts it right in front of your eyes, basically, like, gives you augmented reality Terminator vision. And
but like,
how does it do that? By, like, adding things to, like, glasses? No, it actually, like, the goggles are opaque, like a VR headset. But they have cameras, so it's like, have you ever been in like a car with one of those rear view mirror cameras?
Yeah.
That, like, the rear view mirror is replaced by like a little TV.
Oh, the rear view mirror is like a screen, you mean?
Yeah, the rear view mirror is a screen.
No, I've seen that, but no, I haven't actually driven one, but no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's, it feels like it's that, but for all reality. You just have cameras.
Turn your eyes into a screen.
Yes. Yeah,
basically. I want them also to, like, cover your ears and then have speakers in them, you know?
Yeah, right.
Wear
exactly.
gloves that, like, are haptic feedback. So let's just, like, eliminate all the senses and replace it with, like, a surrogate drone.
Right.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah. And then, like, put the different. So, like, people are saying, like, the problem with this being revolutionary is, like, one, it costs $3,000, which is well above the price point of everything else, but I guess that hasn't stopped Apple in the past.
I love a consumer purchase that makes you the easiest target for robbery ever.
I know.
Simultaneously. You know what I mean?
That is like always.
Oh,
shit,
he got that 3K headset. I'm like, a 3K headset? Watch, I'll sneak up behind you and just yoink that and I'm gone.
You don't even need to sneak. You just walk up and punch him in the stomach and grab their glasses.
Or there's a delay, even if you're coming from the front.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, the delay.
The latency.
Off by half a second. Oh, shit.
But it's,
man.
So, like, the thing with VR that people are like, it just, they haven't created their killer app yet. Like, there's just, it's just for gamers. It's like a fun thing to play video games with, but like, in terms of wider adoption, it just hasn't like broken through.
Right.
And I don't expect Apple to be the place that like figures that out. Right. But the augmented reality, like, one of the images from the Daily Mail article about this is, like, you know, showing how walking directions could be displayed on a screen in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, like Google Maps, kind of like, yeah, in a few meters, you're going to turn a right here at this alley.
Right.
Kind
right.
of thing.
And with like facial recognition technology, like I could see a world where like now you have a database of everyone you've ever met and like can have context for that displayed on a heads up display in front of you. Like, I think there is something like the future is going to involve somebody somehow inventing new senses for people that like we can add to our existing senses and like new inputs for like all the amazing like capabilities you can have via technology. But I don't know, maybe this is it. You definitely look stupid wearing them and look like the biggest target on the planet for robbery or whatever. Like, you're just walking around with a blank thing on your head, like,
right, with no peripheral vision,
right? Although like that, like maybe it gives you eyes in the back of your head, like maybe it gives you extra good peripheral vision,
for
like,
what with, yeah, I mean, you know, to your saying? Point, like, it's not offering anything anyone fucking needs right now. Oh, if you have an Apple Watch, it'll, that shit'll start, but if you need to like walk somewhere, like, hey, turn right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right, right here, right here. I don't need to like see like a dotted line to like where I'm going down the street to be able to make sense of that. Like, I have the ability to do that, or I don't need to know what time it is in the upper right hand corner of my vision. But I think the only way, like, I think that, like, to your point where it has all this interesting data that maybe is useful to someone in the future where it can, like, you know, aggregate all this stuff together in your field of vision. Like, that's probably more useful when it's something like a contact lens you put in over your eye than full on, like, put this mask on where I'm like sort of like losing all sense of direction, or maybe not. I don't know. That's why you have the headset, because it gives you a sense of direction.
Yeah. With the iPhone, with iPad or iPod, it was like very obvious, like, what, like, the thing they were creating was just a much better version of something that was like having all the internet in your pocket was an amazing innovation. Like, we didn't have to think up why that would be amazing for them. Whereas this is like, it just feels like you're having to do too much work for them to like come up. Like, I don't think of Apple as the place that's going to, maybe like after, you know, decades of development, then like things will start to become evident where this will be useful. But
my favorite thing about augmented reality is that, especially if it's in the hands of corporations like, you know, Apple, it's so easy to, like, they're doing so much work on, like, you know, facial recognition and all the stuff that's, like, a lot harder to kind of program. But it's so easy to just, like, see, oh, there's an empty space, a wall there. You know what that wall needs?
Mm-hmm.
Just an ad for Apple products, baby.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just a world of ads is what we're going to be stepping into.
Right.
Because that's like because it's a corporate thinking, right? How are they going to make their money back if they're selling it at $2,000, $3,000? They got to make their money back somehow. And that's going to create the true dystopian nightmare.
Yeah.
Right. It'll be like just overlay it on like objects too, that it doesn't think you're interacting with. It's like, I got hit by I think the latest Marvel film. In a poster, but driving, the goggles completely obscured it because they just layered an ad over that moving vehicle.
Yeah.
You're like, help, I can't see my wife.
Have you thought about taking the goggles off? No!
No!
They stay on!
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about Richard Dreyfuss. Abe, I don't know. Is this
your king, Jack?
This is a segment of the show, Dreyfuss Talk, that we have most Mondays. We just check in with Richard Dreyfuss, see what he's up to.
What's the fuss with Dreyfuss?
We covered his last talk with Bill Maher. It was really great in the last installment of this. They had a really riveting conversation. But this time, he's made his way over to the firing line to talk about just all this dang inclusion going on in Hollywood. And he's asked a question, old Dickie Dry Dry, saying, hey, you know, have diversity measures gone too far? You know, like they're talking about, and the host brings up like the Academy. They're changing its rules for 2025 awards that are, you know, again, meant to encourage more diversity and inclusion. If you were trying to get a Best Picture film, then like maybe let's do more than like what we're doing. So having like at least one lead character in the movie from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group, or have 30% of the general ensemble cast be from at least two unrepresented groups, or have the film's focus be about a group, or like even with the crew, like the people that you hire, you know, like you can still have a very maybe white movie, but maybe have more women and, you know, people of color, LGBTQ, whatever, people working on the set. So then that's your way in. So Richard Dreyfuss has a very interesting take on it. And we'll just let him speak for himself. He's asked very, like, you know, the host, you know, talks about these new efforts the Academy is making. And just, Richard, what's your take on this? Let's hear from Richard himself.
They make me vomit.
Oh, let me just actually give you the full context.
From underrepresented racial and ethnic groups, what do you think of these new inclusion standards for films?
They make me vomit.
Why?
This is on Blaze News.
Because,
well, this is from PBS.
This is an art form. It's also a form of commerce, and it makes money, but it's an art. And no one should be telling me, as an artist, that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is.
Okay, so
here's the thing you guys are missing, though. We solved racism in 1998 with Krippendorf's Tribe.
Gaga Bundo, I believe, was the tagline he said when he was about to have sex with Jenna Elfman.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember the film well.
No more introspection needed.
Yeah, I don't know why I know that film so well. It's, I think, because it was so fucked up. Like when I was like, "Oh, this could be interesting." Like, "Oh, this is so backwards and fucked up." Like, holy shit! But yeah, also commerce. But let's allow him to go on, because he does raise some interesting. Well, no, there.
By the way, I do love just his reduction of diversity and truth and storytelling through like actually giving alternate points of view. Involvement in the industry as being like, he dismisses it as like the latest fad in morality. Like,
right.
Real.
This is where he really brings it home. And I think this is where I have to agree with him. Like, for all the nonsense racist talk of earlier, just, you know, leave me alone, I'm a boomer actor. I think he really makes a really good case with this next talking point. And by
here
that,
go,
I mean,
baby.
He digs even fucking deeper.
Let's go deep.
And I'm sorry, I don't think that there's a minority or a majority in the country that has to be catered to like that. Yeah. You know, Laurence Olivier was the last white actor to play Othello.
In blackface.
And he did it in 1965.
In blackface.
And he did it in blackface.
Oh.
And he played a black man brilliantly. Am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man?
In black
Is someone sense. Else being told that if they're not Jewish, they shouldn't play The Merchant of Venice? Mm-hmm. Are we crazy?
Are we crazy?
Dude, yeah, I
guess
the entitlement already is just like, his perspective is, you're telling me I can't put on blackface if I want to?
Art.
Oh, no.
Art.
I went to a costume party with a guy in the 80s. and he went as Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And it brought the house down. And you're telling me that wasn't funny?
Hmm.
He also has his glasses like all the way at the end of his nose. Like it's so precariously there. It's just, it's an interesting vibe.
It's grandpa tone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's also exactly like, has there ever been an actor who like portrayed just like such, like he not only does he seem uncool, but he also seems like an asshole. And like, just like, this is exactly what I would expect from him.
It's like, what about Bob feels like a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, it's interesting. Like, look at, like, Spielberg knew this immediately about the guy. Like, he cast him in, like, Close Encounters. He's like, I need a man child. Like, I need someone who would just get rid of their family because they have an idea. You know, like, this is the kind of guy, this kind of vibes he sends.
Right.
But he had that song stuck in his head so bad.
So bad.
Also, our writer Jam pointed out that on Twitter, he's been corrected. Patrick Stewart actually played Othello in 1997 in a production with reverse casting where he was the only white person in the cast and everyone else was black.
Right. So he could still maintain like the sort of the overall tension of Othello of someone who is from an out group.
Maybe say something interesting without blackface.
Without blackface, yeah.
Yeah.
But are you telling me? It's just like the way he says it. You're like, shut up, Richard Dreyfuss, you freaking herb.
I'm going to vomit.
It makes me want to vomit, okay?
I do think we need to add the, it makes me want to vomit. To
sound
the
drop.
Soundboard.
Yeah. Like, that just feels like it was, he said that to
make
me.
Make me vomit.
It really does have like shock jock energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make me vomit. Okay.
They make me vomit.
But anyway, so great defender of the status quo. And obviously, I mean, why didn't he bring up Robert Downey Jr.'s seminal role in Tropic Thunder?
Right.
I mean, wow. Richard Dreyfuss really isn't even up on all the modern blackface. You know, fucking Jimmy Kimmel as Carl Malone.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah,
some of the greatest performances we've ever seen from fucking idiots.
Shockingly recently. Yeah.
Are you telling me that I would not be able to play Draymond Green if I wanted to in his biopic? No, I reject that notion. I'm an artist.
I can kick with the best of them.
Yes.
Yeah. This wokeness is a problem that you're going to ignore until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Or I die. Or I
or I just die and go away.
Yeah. And stop being so fussy. Fussy old dick. That's what
dry
I call
fuss.
Him.
Yeah.
He is dry.
Well, yeah, he's he doesn't dusty. Seem like he's yeah, he seems
dusty and ancient.
Pretty dusty. Yeah. Doesn't seem like he's seen a lot of moisture in his day.
Yeah, like when he talks, like it's like when you eat a bunch of saltines and like just the dust comes like cuz your mouth can't absorb. It's like
yeah, he's part mummy.
Yeah.
He's doing the gradual natural mummification process.
Yeah. But hey, shout out to Art though. Also, watching the I was looking at like Olivier as Othello. My God, y'all, it ain't.
Oh yeah,
it's not that.
You don't want
brilliantly.
It's like just, mid. Like so many people have done Othello really well. It's pretty mid.
Oh, it's mid as fuck. And then you just can't get past the blackface. It's like so bad. You're like, I'm sorry, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's also a distraction.
To me. To me.
Oh no, General, no more of that.
Front! Become! Thou hast set me on the rack! I swear to...
I'm sorry. It looks like a fucking... How about this right here, Jack?
Oh my God!
Farewell, content!
Farewell, oh, it's straight up like the...
And the big wars.
Oh, it's like shoe grease.
It's like blackface.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It ain't like, here's a skin tone.
Right.
No.
They're like, how about we take a bunch of lead pencil shavings and use that as your foundation?
Yeah, it's like the shit from like Al Jolson. Like it looks like that.
Oh, yeah. It's black face, darling.
Yeah.
Darling. And I will have you know, farewell the doomed troops and the big wars that make ambition hurt you. Yes.
Amazing.
Makes me vomit.
It makes me vomit. The Nets could go 0 for 82, and I'm smiling at you like that shit's gravy. Because me and my nice fellows in Paris. Okay, I couldn't go that far. I'm Sir Lawrence of Olivier. Come on.
Well, Abe, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, find out more about your movie, all that good stuff?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I just want to talk about, you know, the movie a little bit.
Yeah,
because that's like where people can find me and stuff. But he said, my name is Abe Epperson. My writing partner is Michael Swaim, who I believe is on tomorrow. And we're making an independent film, and it's based on the time that Michael's father came out as a gay furry while he was a teenager. When Michael was a teenager, semi-autobiographical, yeah. And if you don't know, the term furry describes a community of fans, like artists, gamers, etc., of anthropomorphized animals. Often they create what's called a fursona, which is an avatar or an identity that represents their true self. And it's a community that's been like bullied by the online zeitgeist, more or less, portrayals in media and such. And we thought humans could be better, so we decided to write a coming of age comedy drama that deals with like family, subculture, sexuality. And if you've heard of our stuff at Cracked or Small Beans or way back in the day at Those Aren't Muskets, we've been working with each other for like, you know, 15 years at this point. And you'd be interested in the fact that we're producing this as a feature independently, and you can help. So if you go to seedandspark.com/fund/papa-bear, hopefully that will be in the show notes. You can become a part of the movie, get stuff from the movie, watch the movie early, go to a premiere. So yeah, visit the page and help us out. We really are trying it. We're trying to make a movie and hope you agree that this is like a story worth telling. That's kind of it. That's my plug for Papa Bear.
Yeah. I'm so excited for it.
Thank
Everybody
you,
should go check out the page. Do you guys like link off to any of the old stuff that you directed at Cracked? Like, there's so much good shit that
it's tough to pick
in the like Cracked.
We do have kind of landing YouTube video when you go to that link where it's kind of has some a clip show.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Other than that, there's so much stuff. We made like 500 sketches.
I know.
And I wasn't even the only one directing at Cracked. You know, so it's amazing. It was crazy how much we put out.
Yeah, amazing. Well, go check it out. We'll link off to it in the footnotes.
Hello.
Abe, is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
A work of media?
Yeah. It can be a tweet.
There's there's a video. I saw it on Twitter account called No Context Humans, which is just like an aggregator of random images and videos from the internet. And so it's just this like minute long video. The guy has like a mini, like, I guess like a foot long Wheel of Fortune wheel with like a dollar amounts on it, you know, and he approaches a woman and he's like, do you want $20 or do you want a chance to win $1,000 by spinning this wheel? She's like, spin the wheel, and does. And then the rest of the minute long video is just the wheel spinning, and then it spins and it spins, and then it starts to slow down, and then it starts to speed up, and then it picks up so much momentum that you think the thing is going to break. And she's just sitting there looking at it while he's like, yeah, it's still going. It's one of the dumbest, like most simple-minded, mischievous things to do. Like, and it's like kind of like a parody of like those prank videos. What a waste of everyone's time. So I don't know. I could send you the link to the video, but honestly, it's just enjoyable to know that there's people out there doing nonsense like that.
Complete dumb nonsense.
That's probably last time I laughed like really, really hard at something that the internet dropped at my doorstep.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me on at symbol based websites at Miles of Gray. Chances I'm there and somewhat posting every now and then. You can also find me and Jack on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And what else? 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra. We talk about reality shit, you know, just getting in there. Some tweet. I don't really. There's one tweet I liked, just because it was raising an interesting point as somebody who was just in a hotel recently, and they're like, "And if you'd like, you know, housekeeping, it can be deferred." Blah blah blah. This is a tweet from @BlueSteelDC. Tweeted, sharing an important message from the hotel workers unions: don't defer daily cleaning when staying in a hotel. Basically, because it has a terrible impact on the people that actually do the jobs, because it allows them to cut back, and they do this thing of like, you know, for COVID reasons, but really it could, you know, has the impact of like reducing the workforce by like 39% in some instances. And when you don't, when you have like deferred housekeeping, the people who have to clean up the rooms typically walk into rooms that are way more fucked up if they had been like lightly taken care of like every day, but they still have the same amount of time to turn over a room, which makes their jobs much harder. So just something to note as we're, you know, we enter this new era of like things that are changing since the pandemic began. But yeah, don't do away with those deferred cleanings, please.
All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. So Noah Garfinkel responded. So Bryant Stelter reported from CNN after the Trump thing, quote, From I guess it's the new head of CNN. You do not have to like the former president's answers, but you can't say that we didn't get them. Caitlin pressed him again and again and made news, made a lot of news, and that is our job. And Noah Garfinkel quoted that and said, "Doctor, I made a lot of cancer. That is my job." And then PJ Evans continued his string of great tweets about Walgreens and CVS. Said, "At Walgreens, I'm getting major CVS vibes from this place." You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's the song that we think people might enjoy?
The weather has been heating up in LA, thank God, although I do try to wear my rain hat in the 85 degree heat. It's not a great combination, but in the heat,
so
I like
rain
music
on the inside of that hat.
Yeah, no, it's like more of like a sauna on the inside of that
sauna
hat.
Off,
and my head looks like a thumb that's been in like a bathtub for too long. It looks like Shane Battier's the top of head. Those that can understand that reference. This is a track by this artist Manzanita, who is like a Peruvian cumbia artist from like the 60s and like kind of the psychedelic wave of cumbia that was happening in Peru. And this is a very dope track. It's called Andino, A-N-D-I-N-O. And the full artist name is Manzanita y su Conjunto. And it's just great. It's like great music when you're outside, because it makes you want to like have your shoulders just kind of bouncing as you walk around. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's just great atmospheric music for when the weather's warm. And cumbia in general is just fantastic. So check this out. This is Manzanita with Andino.
All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to y'all then.
Bye. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.